I preach in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, from that bulging book of biblical battles, the second book of Samuel, comes this Sunday morning's episode of skullduggery, lament, and woe. We learn that Absalom is dead, and his father, King David, mourns his loss. Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for you, O Absalom, my son, my son. Anyone who has lost a child or someone close to them can empathize with David's desire to do anything to prevent his son's death, even offering himself as the one to die rather than his son. Today's excerpt from the second book of Samuel relies heavily upon knowing full well what had happened in the life of Absalom to sort of fully comprehend the reading we've just heard and the power behind its events, and in particular the cry of his forlorn father. Let me give you, therefore, just a bit of background on King David and Absalom and the relationship between the two of them. The name Absalom literally meant father of peace or peaceful. The son of David by Maacah, Absalom was, we are told, a very good-looking fellow, noted for his personal beauty and again, according to 2 Samuel, for the extraordinary profusion of the hair on his head. Absalom's first public act of his life, we read in 2 Samuel, was the blood revenge he executed against Amnon, David's eldest son, who had raped Absalom's sister Tamar. This revenge was executed at the time of the festivities connected with a great sheep shearing at a place called Baal Hazor. David's other sons fled from the place in horror at this event and brought the tidings of the death of Amnon to Jerusalem. Alarmed for the consequences of the act, Absalom fled to his grandfather at Geshur, and he there lived for 3 years, essentially in hiding. David mourned his absent son, now branded with the guilt of killing his brother. And as the result of a stratagem carried out by a woman of Tekoa, Joab received David's sanction to invite Absalom back to Jerusalem. He returned accordingly, but 2 years elapsed before his father, David, would admit him into his presence. 5 years separated the two of them. Absalom was now probably the oldest surviving son of David. And as he was of royal descent by both his mother as well as his father, he aspired to the throne. His pretensions were favoured by many people. And by many means he gained their affection, and after his return from Geshur, which we read in chapter 15, he went up to Hebron, the old capital of Judah, along with a great body of the people, and proclaimed himself king. This revolt was so successful that David found it necessary to leave Jerusalem and flee to Mahanaim, beyond Jordan, whereupon Absalom returned to Jerusalem and took possession of the throne without opposition. This is where it gets interesting. A fellow by the name of Ahithophel, who had been David's chief counselor, deserted David and joined Absalom and became his chief counselor. Some might observe that political allegiances don't seem to change much in their integrity over 3,000 years. Hushai also joined Absalom, but only for the purpose of trying to counteract the counsels of Ahithophel, and so to advantage David's cause. He was very successful in this, because by his advice, which was preferred to that of Ahithophel, Absalom delayed marching an army against his father David, who thus gained essential time in preparing his defence. Absalom eventually marched out against his father David, whose army, under the command of Joab, he encountered on the borders of the forest of Ephraim. David's army was brutally effective. 2 Samuel this morning records that 20,000 of Absalom's army were slain in that battle, and the rest fled. Absalom was one of those who fled. He fled on a swift mule, but his aforementioned long flowing hair was caught in the bough of an oak, and there he was left suspended, caught between heaven and earth, held in the arms of this tree by the size of his head, until Joab came up and pierced him through with three spears. We later read that his body was then taken down and cast into a pit dug in the forest, and a heap of stones was raised over his grave. When the tidings of the result of that battle were brought to King David, as he sat impatiently at the gate of Mahanaim, waiting to work out, to hear what had happened in the battle, he gives way to this famous but bitter lamentation. "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would to God I had died for you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." This, to me at least, says more about the abiding character of David than most other descriptions of him that we encounter elsewhere. David, king of Israel, mourns from the bottom of his heart the loss of a son whose abject plan was to rise to the throne in the place of his father at all cost. There are not too many people, I would guess, who would cry like he did at the death of such a rebellious son. He tried by his words to draw Absalom back into his heart. Now, at this point, I'd like to get out the metaphorical pair of scissors and some glue and stick next to this account of the second book of Samuel a very famous parable that Jesus tells, the parable of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Verses 11 to 32. The son, who you will remember, takes it all from his father, and he goes off in his own world to rise to all that his father was, riding solely on the back of selfishness and greed. A son who, for all intents and purposes, wishes his father dead, when he proclaims, "Give me my share of your inheritance." And as the parable goes, the son goes away to a land in which he enjoys everything that life can offer. But he spends everything, squanders everything, and then has to come back to his father. The son comes back up the front path of his father's life with the wounds of broken relationship and shame to seek restitution and, one must say, selfish need to be comforted and clothed again. I sometimes wonder if Jesus' listeners had in mind the story of David and Absalom when they heard the story of the prodigal son. I wonder if Jesus himself had the story of his ancestor David and his relationship with Absalom in mind when he told that parable. Yet there are, of course, differences between these two accounts, and their emphases are different too. The second, the parable being the story of a God who welcomes with open arms the living return of his lost people. The parable of the prodigal son is the story of the Christian faith, in the sense that Christ describes the overwhelming love of God for all people, most particularly those who return to God's loving embrace, having at one time shunned or rejected God, or indeed gone in their own way without God. In David's cry of lament, which we heard this morning, there too is a cry that seeks to restore a son to his father and a father to his son, albeit after his death. After the death of Absalom, the power to restore or to refuse lie solely in the hands of David the king, who as the father of Israel chooses to transcend the limits of death by calling back to his breast his lost and rebellious son, who, it must be said, did every single thing he could to reject his father's embrace. As Christians, the story of David, the king of Israel, and Absalom, the warring, rebellious son, is part of our story. Christ's parable of the prodigal son and the loving father is also part of our story. The teller of that parable is, after all, Jesus, the direct descendant of David, the lover of a hating son. And Jesus in himself is the lover of a hating world, the direct relationship between God and humanity. And that relationship is not over. In Christ, God seeks to reconcile the world to God's self, not with limits, not with exclusions, but rather with the risky fleshing out made known in the incarnation, a God prepared to live and die as one of us, and to take his place in the story of David and his people alongside the people who, like us, are his descendants. Israel, Christianity, the Anglican Communion are descendants one from another, and they are riddled with stories of relationship breakdown and distress that can only be restored in and by Christ. But always, always, is there the constant invitation to return to Jesus' heart, to be reconciled with God and with each other, just as even at the last, David brought Absalom back into his heart and his embrace. Amen.